Last week we talked about the doctrine of perseverance as a doctrine that allows us to have great comfort in our Christian lives, that allows us to have great comfort as we walk in liberty and as we freely walk, understanding that perseverance allows us to walk with our faces turned towards Christ, not always fumbling and not always wondering whether we've been made right with God or whether we're justified or whether we are in Christ. You remember that conversation? We said that perseverance and this doctrine where when we are in Christ and united to Christ, we're able to look to Him and we're able to walk and we're able to serve God in the way that Scriptures call us to serve God, rather than always being fumbling and meditating on whether we are saved or whether we are right with God. And we talked about how there is a historical context where there were those that were at certain councils that were refuting the Reformed faith, and there were those that said, if one has an assurance of salvation, he will live in such a way, or she will live in such a way, that they will displease God. They will live licentious lives. They will live rebellious, sinful lives. And that was coming from both the Roman Catholic Church as well as those from what was called the Remonstrants. Those saying that those that are assured and those that believe in perseverance, they'll live like hell. And that warning was given. But friends, we have read from Hebrews 12. And there is a sense of assurance that we find in this chapter. A sense of assurance that says that we are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses that we didn't take time to read from Hebrews 11. But I know you're familiar with Hebrews 11. And we have this whole cloud of witnesses, those that have gone before us, that are standing, as it were, in the stands, cheering us on as we live our Christian life. And the author of Hebrews says that what we do as we run this race of endurance that is set before us is that we are to throw off everything that hinders us. And there's a context there, isn't there? The ancient games where the runners ran naked. And Paul is referencing that. He's saying, if there's anything that hinders you from running the race that is set before you, throw it off. Throw it off so that you can run in such a way that you work towards that crown. And to whom do we look as we run? We look to Christ. We have a whole cloud of witnesses surrounding us. But as you run the Christian life, you are to have full assurance that you will persevere. And that assurance of perseverance does not come from those in the stands cheering you on. It comes from Christ, who, as the author describes, is standing there at the end of the race, encouraging you and calling you to run. Friends, our doctrine of perseverance comes from this sense of comfort, knowing that Jesus Christ Himself has already run the race, that He has run the race and He endured even the cross, and He counted it joy to run despite suffering, knowing what that inheritance would be. Because of that running, the author says in Hebrews 12:3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Friends, as we consider perseverance and as we consider assurance, we understand that there are times when we are faint-hearted, when we do grow weary. And the author says, run. That weariness that comes to us is, in a sense, discipline. But that discipline is for our good. Some of you are runners. It would be difficult to call me and say, come run with me several miles. The discipline of running. It's been painful for a season, but it has paid off. And friends, here we're told that discipline, that chastening that comes, it comes from our Heavenly Father, that we would continue to run. You see, those who are in a race and those that are training, as the context here, training for the ancient games, they don't say, you know, I'm going to run those games and I'm going to do so good and I'm going to finish and the stands are going to be cheering me on. And you say, oh, that's great. How are you going to prepare for that? Well, I'm going to sleep in every day. I'm going to order pizza every night. I'm going to get big gulps down at 7-Eleven. That's not how you train. And when we live the Christian life, we must understand that the Christian life is a life that calls us to disciplines of godliness. Disciplines that prepare us to continue to run. We don't live the Christian life with our eyes fixed upon Jesus and knowing that whole cloud of witnesses is there around us, cheering us on. We don't live in such a way that dishonors God and causes us to constantly be sinning and throwing off the things of God and disobeying God and not using the means of grace. We don't do this and continue to run. As we've looked at the canons of Dort, Article 5, paragraph 13 says, neither does renewed confidence of persevering produce licentiousness or disregard to piety in those who are recovering from backsliding, but it renders them much more careful and solicitous to continue in the ways of the Lord, which He has ordained, that they who walk therein may maintain an assurance of perseverance, lest by abusing His fatherly kindness, God should turn away His countenance from them to behold, which is to the godly dearer than life, and withdrawing whereof is more bitter than death, and they in consequence hereof should fall into more grievous torments of conscience. You see, as we run the Christian life, we are to be in continual renewal of the confidence of perseverance. We live our lives in such a way, and we receive grace from Christ as we run and look to His face. We receive renewed confidence that we will finish the race. And that is the encouragement of the Scriptures. It's that renewal that comes from that time where maybe we have sinned or we've backslidden or we found ourselves wrestling in our minds or in our hearts with trusting in the Lord. Those times come. And that's what the author of Hebrews says. Those times of discipline come. We will be reproved for those times when in the midst of our race, we begin to fall back. And we begin to struggle. And we begin to question. But that renewed confidence will come. We will be given that sense of assurance again. Friends, have you experienced that? Have you been in that place where God's presence or a sense of God's presence is renewed? And it gives us that courage to continue, that courage to run. The author of Hebrews gives it in the context of looking at the face of Christ, the one who has endured. Assurance and perseverance go together. And the idea that a sense of full assurance or a sense of full perseverance will lead to sin, that's an incorrect view. It's an incorrect view. Again, the runner does not, in the midst of the race, realize that all this discipline has paid off so that they can just stop and do what they want with their body. The runner continues. We know that assurance of perseverance does not produce disregard for piety. It does not produce licentiousness, that idea that we're free to sin or we're free to live like hell. Perseverance is not for that purpose. There's a contrast made. It doesn't produce this disregard for the things of God or this throwing off of biblical piety, but instead it causes us to be more careful, or the words the canons use, more solicitous in the ways of the Lord. That means we are careful in the way that we walk. We're careful as we come before God in worship. We're careful as we study His Word. We're careful as we work through ethical situations that come into our life. We're careful as we have to weigh whether we will do this or not do this. Friends, are you walking carefully in the things of God? Are you looking to the Word of God and saying, I see that I ought to do this? Or I see that I should approach God in this way? Again, going back to Hebrews 12, the author is causing us to run this race and to look ahead to Christ. And he says that as we look ahead to Christ, we're coming into a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is not an earthly kingdom, but we come into that which God has made. And we're told to offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Friends, as you live the Christian life, and as you seek perseverance, and as you seek full assurance, and you understand that we're called to run, and we're called to look to Christ, but that doesn't mean that we disregard the things of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have time to be in the Word. I don't have time to come to two services. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time for family worship because I'm looking to Jesus. The author says that is a false application. We look to Jesus and we come to this kingdom and we understand that we are careful with the things of God because our God is a consuming fire. You see, when we walk in this genuine faith, we live a life of gratitude. We seek to please this one to whom we look. And this becomes the cause for maintaining the assurance of perseverance. We grow in that assurance as we walk or as we run. We run this race set before us with our eyes fixed upon Him. And this contrast is made in this paragraph in 5:13. This contrast between that which is dearer than life to the Christian and that which is more bitter than death. See, again, in that context of running the race and looking to the face of Christ, we're encouraged to not abuse His fatherly kindness, which is dearer than life. That kindness of God towards us as we run, that source of assurance that God gives to us, is dearer than life. And friends, we know there are times when we stumble. There's times when we fall, and there's times when we do sin, and there's times when we scrape our knees and we struggle, and there's times when we question and wonder whether the Lord is present with us. And we're encouraged to look to that face and to hold that which is dearer than life, knowing His fatherly kindness, lest He withdraw that sense of assurance, which is here described as more bitter than death. And we end up falling into more grievous sin. So you see that we seek to persevere. We seek to continue to run. We seek to understand that as we look to the face of Christ, the one who has already run the race set before Him, we go forth acknowledging both that there will be times in life when we fall and are needing to be disciplined, when we struggle. And as we struggle, we say, God, this hurts. And we're reminded that it is but for a season. We continue to look to Christ and we continue to run, acknowledging His fatherly kindness, even in the midst of those trials. The God who grants perseverance. And we run towards that prize, towards that kingdom that cannot be shaken, towards Zion, where Christ is King. Friends, I would encourage you, as you consider, to think about this doctrine of perseverance of the saints. That we do understand that there are times where we stand up and our palms are bloodied and our knees are bloodied and we say, am I going to persevere? Am I able to continue to run? The author of Hebrews says, look at the stands and run. Throw off those weights that weigh you down. And run and look to Jesus Christ and run. We must recapture something of the doctrine of perseverance in this context, that we are running with our eyes fixed upon Him We're running to that city where He is King. Amen.